January, February, March, you know, total homes for sale, as well as new listings followed that trend as well. But if we go, you want to do like a rolling 12 and see where we're at in Connecticut?
I'm always curious about the thing, and you've heard me say this, our listeners have heard me say this, the thing that's always so amazing to me is whenever you show these charts is how repetitious the market is every year over year over year. You know, you have a couple of outliers, but the cycles are so kind of not predictable, but they are, let me rephrase that. They are predictable time and time again. If you look at, you know, year over year over year, the same months do well, the same months have struggles. This is kind of a straight nosedive line you're showing me here.
So what I'm showing Pat, and obviously everybody here on the radio can't see this chart, but what I'm showing Pat here is homes for sale, the total amount of homes on the market. This is coming from our Connecticut MLS. And so this is the rolling 12 for the last year. I can go a 3-year look, and you can see consistently for the last 3 years, our rolling 12 has been on the decline, and that's homes for sale. That's not new listings coming on. That's total inventory in a rolling 12-month period. Once we hit March 2020, it took an absolute nosedive. In March of 2020, the last year from that point, so March 2019 to March 2020, we had an average of 19,600 plus homes for sale. And we've just completely gone down from that point on our rolling 12 to where we sit today at just over 12,700. These are all types of properties. So condos are included with single families. And it's been a straight decline. So for our rolling 12 here in Connecticut, we haven't seen that uptick that they saw nationally for the first time in 15 months. If you're going to just look at a rolling 12. Now, if you go and you look at this monthly, Pat, and I'll go just 1 year, we saw our homes for sale take a nosedive starting in November for the seasonality, and then it did start to uptick back in March. We had March, we had 10,100 homes for sale, which is historically really low on a monthly basis. April, we saw it go up to 11,000. May, we saw 11,800, and then we went flat here. June, same number, 11,800 homes for sale. Now, if I talk about what that means in respect to history, these are the February 2021 was the lowest month ever of homes for sale in this state, and then we did again jump up leading into May. Still, May and June would have been reminiscent of 2003 before things really took off in terms of inventory levels, okay?
This is the first time we're ever under 10,000.
That's correct. This year, February 2021, was the first month in the last 20 years, according to Connecticut MLS data, where we ever saw under 10,000 homes for sale in a given month.
An incredible stat. So even when you look at all these dips, again, seasonality and you know, kind of repetition year over year, we're so far below inventory levels. Again, to your point, prior to 03 and 04, 03, 04, 05, we dipped into it a little bit. But even that, we're at, you know, we're 25% lower than that even. And those were historical lows 20 years ago.
And if we look at the monthly number that we referenced on the national report, remember, they were 37.5% off of June of last year. We're 32.3%. So we're in line with what's happening nationally, even though we saw our uptick in inventory come up from the winter because it just got so low. And that 32.3% is single families. If I go to all property types, it's 31% that were off of June. Single families is still under 10,000 available, really for the first time since 2003. And it's been under 10,000 homes available since the start of this year, since the end of last year, and it's continued. Single family homes were only at 9,500, give or take, right now.
Yeah, so even this correction in the upward, again, just to clarify, like we talked about in the article, it's changed directions, but we're still nowhere near caught up to those levels. We're still so far behind historic inventory levels, it's kind of incredible.
Now, we are seeing new listings start to hit the market. Okay, so I'll, just for some perspective here, December, we only had, for single-family homes, this is just single-family homes, we only had 2,100 new listings come on the market in December. January, we had 2,600 single-family homes. February, 2,700. These are really low numbers. But then in March, we saw over 4,500 single-family homes come on. April, 5,100. May, 5,400. And then June, just about 5,400 and well. So May and June have been very similar in both categories. Next week, we'll have all of July data available. We'll be able to look at you know, how July reacted. But we did see at least a pretty healthy portion of new listings. Now, we haven't hit any of the numbers that we saw from 2013 to 2020. We're still below all those numbers on new inventory. We're more reminiscent of, 2009 when nobody knew what to do, right?
Yeah, kind of the post-crash market, yeah.
They want to sell their property. Or you could say pre-peak, you know, because that's what we saw in 2003, 2004, 2005 is the type of, the amount of new listings coming on the market that we're seeing right now before the explosion of new listings because the prices got so high. I've been saying, you know, if you're thinking about selling, you've got all the comps and the data of record prices in your corner right now. Getting your property on the market right now is a really good idea because inventory is going to tick up. And you're starting to see the very first sign of that slowly starting to happen. This is a great thing for buyers because interest rates are still really low and they're now finally seeing, wait a minute, are we at that point where things start to trend in the other direction? When I say trend in the other direction, more options for buyers to choose from, not lower prices. Two different things there, okay? But more options, because remember, a lot of buyers are just frustrated because they can't buy a home because there's not one available to them, or they're competing with 10 other offers and they can't get the property. But right now, we're starting to see more options available where they can at least take a breath, slow their process down, know that tomorrow there's going to be another property coming on the market for them. That's really good news for buyers.
I think we'll have to dive in a little further when we get back after our break here.
We'll go a little further when we get back. We'll give away some of Martin's money. Stay with us. Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. The Floor
Covering Shop. Shop from the comfort of your home right on our website, floorcoveringshopinc.com. When you shop at the Floor Covering Shop, you buy from a local family business. People you get to know, like the Graff family. Floor Covering Shop Inc. has thousands of flooring products to check out or stop into the showroom where you can see and touch lots of options. Measuring, free estimates, and 6 months same as cash financing available. Floor Covering Shop Inc., Central Ave, Norwich. Wall to wall, cover it all. We got miles
and miles of carpet and tile. Happy birthday, America! Central Auto Group, CT.com, celebrates our nation's birthday the entire month of July by giving you the most for your trade. Central Auto Group, your number one buying destination, home of Ford, Mazda, Hyundai, Volkswagen, and pre-owned, will give you cash on the spot for your vehicle, even if you're not buying. To make your summer even better, get 0% financing up to 72 months on select new models. And you don't have to make a payment until the fall when you buy new. Central Auto Group never has a shortage on inventory. We still have plenty of new cars to choose from and a great selection of pre-owned vehicles. Why shop anywhere else when you get Ford, Mazda, Hyundai, Volkswagen, and pre-owned at one location? Open 24/7 online at CentralAutoGroupCT.com. Exit 28 I-395. See dealer for details.
Your number one buying destination. Central Auto Group.
Yes, I subscribe to Netflix.
HBO Stars.
Razors.
Dog food.
Cat food.
Magazines.
I use my friend's Netflix password. I don't want to pay for that one.
With all these things you subscribe to, how about something that subscribes to you? Your news.
So I can get a feeling of what's going on in the world.
Your forecast.
Prepare for whatever is coming.
Your commute.
You can avoid backups or accidents.
And the best part, the station that subscribes to you is no cost to you.
I turn on the radio.
94.9 News Now. And stimulating talk.
Housing inventory starts to grow for the first time in over a year. That's according to a report that in June 2020, we saw inventory rise. And locally, that was nationally, locally, we are kind of seeing the same thing. If you go rolling 12 months, we are not. If you just look, you know, monthly, we certainly have that seasonality uptick, and we've seen it the last couple of months. Now, this doesn't mean, and I reference it at the end of the break, this means that there could be more options coming for buyers. This could become an easier market for buyers, specifically of single family homes, as more people realize the opportunity to put their home on the market for record prices. What this doesn't mean is that prices are about to crash. And we are, for single family homes, right now we're at a median sale price that we've never seen before in the history of this state. We have a median sale price for single family homes across the state, according to the CTMLS, at $370,000. You can go all the way back to those peak years of 05, 06, 07. You never saw anything over $350,000. The highest it got in 07 was $335,000 in any given month. That was June of 2007. And in June of 2021, we saw it at $370,000. May of 2021, $345,000. If I just go on a rolling 12 months, so the last year for single family homes, we're up 20%, by the way. We're at $330,000. The highest it got back then was $310,000 on a rolling 12. And we've been up over $310,000 rolling 12 since January of this year. And the line is straight up. The line has been straight up since, let's really say since June of 2020. You know, once everybody kind of figured out and those sales caught up between March and June, the line has been straight up on your Connecticut single family home values. June 2020, median sale price was $275,000 for a rolling 12. The rolling 12 is $330,000 today, but in June it was $370,000. So the median home gained $100,000 basically from. Well, it's gained more than that. In February of 2020, Pat, that month, the month of February 2020, the median sale price for single-family homes was $250,000 for that month. June 2021, it was $370,000.
That's pretty decent. It's a pretty good step in the right direction, I think. The other thing that I thought was really cool was that the article we're using, median sale price in June nationally hit $336,000.
Yeah.
So we're actually in Connecticut ahead of the national median.
And that was just for that particular month?
That's what it says, yeah. Yeah, sales in June, sales surge 14.2, and the median sales price also hit another record, 336. Previous record was 320 in April of this year, right? So this year still moving up and up. That is, you're in the wrong article.
I am on the wrong article. There you go.
It's going to make it harder to find it. You're going to have to look really hard. But yeah, so right there about that for sale sign, the median sales price, about $336, also hit a record. And Connecticut's actually blowing the doors off of that. I guess the part that's most impressive to us.
Yeah, if we're just looking at the month of June, we were at $370,000 median sale price for single family homes. If we go all property types, we were at $339,900. So either way you look at it, we're beating that national number, because it doesn't say if they're just looking at single family homes. I don't know if they have what I'm saying is I don't know if they have condos in there or not. The median sale price about $336,000, also hit another record, surpassing the previous high of $320,000 in April. So yeah, they are going to to monthly numbers there.
Yeah, they're just referencing the national housing market. I'm assuming they're including all property types. I mean, I have nothing saying otherwise.
Meanwhile, the number of homes for sale in June grew 1.9% from the prior month, which marks the first increase since March 2020. So number of homes sold, there's still huge demand right now. And although inventory is down 37.5%, which we referenced earlier, compared to June 2020, the slight uptick, as we discussed, is a welcome sign for buyers. And that's right, because if you start to stack up a couple of months similar to this, especially, you know, as you go into the fall season and you go into the winter months, where here we always see things kind of ease up, you know, every year annually, the winter. Now you always see inventory come down because not a lot of people want to sell their homes.
Yeah, so that's always the valley, right? In all these charts that you show us, that's always where the valley is those 3 or 4 months.
But if you're out there aggressively looking, things tend to get easier. But we're only in July here. So if things are starting to hit that inflection point, you know, buyers still looking July, you know, we're out of July, August, September, October, great buying months, may find it easier than the buyer did in the spring. I believe that September, October, you're going to see more sellers than you've seen in over 15 months, because these record prices are now comps for the appraisers to go after. So if you want a high value for your house, you're moving for any particular reason, downsizing, relocating, you're moving into your investment property, whatever your story is, and you wanted a high number, it was more important you get a high number than anything else, and you've been waiting for those numbers, you now have them. We're seeing buyers also, Pat, just the agents, the one and company agents, they're starting to see buyers saying no to going too high. I know with the data we have the last couple of months, they can feel it. Buyers have a feel for the market. I can feel that there's more properties coming on tomorrow.
So it's pretty staggering to look at the fact that since March of 2020, we've had a decreasing inventory. You've had a shrinking inventory base for the better part of 17 months. And it's finally starting to turn that corner.
It's going to start to get a little bit easier for buyers. It's still very difficult. It's still very difficult. Our months of supply is at historic lows. We're at 2.4 months of supply, June 2021. You need to be at 6 for a normal market for the sellers and the buyers to feel equal control in the market. Sellers still have massive control, but not at the same death grip that they had in the spring of 2021. They don't have that same death grip if we continue to see things trend. And I'm telling you, next week when we come on here, would it be next week? How's the calendar line up for the end of July?
No, not yet. Next week is actually the end of the month, but we're not through the end of the month yet.
So in 2 weeks, when I'm able to talk about July's numbers in its entirety, just tracking what's happening, this trend is going to continue, where you're going to start to see inventory go up a little bit. We're at such lows, it's not going to impact the sale prices, but are you going to continue to see record after record after record every month? I just don't know about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think seeing it from the outside in, you know, that is definitely, it's a positive note, right? Appreciating you have to frame that it grew, but that doesn't mean that it's anywhere near where it was. It just means it's starting to turn that corner a little bit. But I think starting to see that as an outsider, right? My perspective would be that's a positive sign for me as a buyer, that there's some optimism in the market, that I'll have some choices, which I think would get me excited. If I was out shopping again and I'd been getting discouraged, right? I mean, we've talked about this before, how hard buyers are working, how hard your agents are working to try to get people into homes just because the competition and the demand is so high, that I think my optimism starts to kind of turn that corner a bit now with the news that at least a little bit of inventory is starting to loosen and come into the marketplace, I might actually have a chance at something, right? As opposed to these people that I can't imagine, to be honest with you, going through the process of trying to buy a home and for 3 months, 4 months at a time, just getting my teeth kicked in every time I try to because there's multiple offers, over asking, cash, all of this craziness. The idea that there might be something coming would get me excited again. I'd be much more interested in coming back. And I think that could be hopefully a positive piece for consumers.
Especially if you're a millennial, which is the largest buyer group out there. The largest buyer demographic is the millennial. And if and say you're 34 years old right now and you've been renting and saving and you finally made that decision, I'm going to go buy my first piece of real estate, my first home, and you just can't do it. You just can't do it because there's no options or you're getting outbid all the time. But you've saved all the money. You've done all the right things. You rented for a long time. And then you're running up against a brick wall. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, I can't imagine after, you know, even a month or two of that, that my enthusiasm wouldn't wane a little bit as a consumer. It's just tough. And then, you know, of course, that's makes it difficult for you and your team, because that's part of, you know, you're real estate professionals. You're also part-time psychologists in having to keep people engaged and making sure that, hey, listen, we're going to do this. We're going to get through this together and we'll find something.
All right, we come back. We've got the One & Company at William Ravis Rewind for the week. If you've got some real estate to promote on this show, we'd love to help you. I don't care if you're a for sale by owner, an agent, whoever. You can call in 860-464-9490. We'll promote your deal or we'll talk through any deal you're looking to buy. And we're going to give away some of Martin's money courtesy of Service Station Equipment. All that when we come back. Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
I'm Karen McHugh. The Delta variant of the coronavirus is making more Americans sick.
The head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases says 99.5% of current COVID deaths are unvaccinated patients, mostly the elderly and obese Americans. And in New York, Mayor Bill de Blasio says it's time for more mandates, calling on employers to require the COVID vaccine. So far, de Blasio has declined to issue another indoor mask mandate, saying it would distract from the city's vaccinating efforts.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. The soaring crime rate in San Francisco is leading to more calls for more cops.
I think an increased police presence in these heavy tourist areas would be a start. That'll deter some of these criminals from committing these crimes. Also, they need to prosecute these criminals.
San Francisco business owner Manit Sohal on Fox. America is listening to Fox News.
Breaking news from 94.9 News Now.
Good morning, I'm Jim O'Reilly. In Guilford, police are investigating the death of a woman found at a condo complex on Thursday. Detectives are going over the scene at the Lake Quantipug neighborhood on Mohawk Trail. They identify the victim. It's 42-year-old Lindsay Hopkins. UConn basketball announces their two-year NCAA probation is over. The penalties included reductions in scholarships for 2019 and numerous recruiting restrictions for 2019 and 2020. Yale New Haven health officials confirmed the personal information of some patients is compromised in an April data breach. Some had their financial info exposed as well. Those affected are offered free credit monitoring. The investigation is ongoing. The State Bond Commission puts $1.1 billion on the state's credit card Friday, including money for transportation, school construction, and the state pier in New London. An overturned semi causes delays over on I-91 in Wallingford late Friday. Southbound was closed between exits 14 and 15 for a time. No word on injuries. Traffic flows again after 3 hours. Sunny with highs in the upper 70s. When news breaks, we break in. I'm Jim O'Reilly, 94.9 News Now, and Stimulating Talk.
bad decisions, limit future options. Make enough bad decisions and you will destroy your life. Listen to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes, every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. here on 94.9 News Now. The Flatline describes a main line of resistance in your soul built on God's Word. Join us every Sunday for 30 minutes of inspiration, motivation, education, all without manipulation. That's Flatline with Rick Hughes, heard here on 94.9 News Now every Sunday at 7:30 a.m.
Happy birthday, America! Central Auto Group, CT.com, celebrates our nation's birthday the entire month of July by giving you the most for your trade. Central Auto Group, your number one buying destination, home of Ford, Mazda, Hyundai, Volkswagen, and pre-owned. We'll give you cash on the spot for your vehicle, even if you're not buying. To make your summer even better, get 0% financing up to 72 months on select new models. And you don't have to make a payment until the fall when you buy new. Central Auto Group never has a shortage on inventory. We still have plenty of new cars to choose from and a great selection of pre-owned vehicles. Why shop anywhere else when you get Ford, Mazda, Hyundai, Volkswagen, and pre-owned at one location? Open 24-7 online at CentralAutoGroupCT.com. Exit 28 I-395. See dealer for details.
Your number one buying destination. Central Auto Group.
Real Estate Radio, Byron Lazine, One and Company, William Ravis Real Estate, along with Pat Kenny of Barnum Plans. We're talking all things real estate related today. You know, Pat, sometimes people will call in or, you know, Martin will say, hey, you know, I heard from those radio guys over there at 94.9, those, what do they call them? The fact checkers at 94.9, you know, they're saying sometimes you don't talk about enough real estate. This is the real estate show. We're talking all things real estate today, what it means for your Connecticut home values. And if you've got a deal that you're thinking about buying, whether it's an investment, you're buying your first home, your condo, if you've got a deal that you're trying to break down, that you're trying to make sense of on the market, off the market, you'd like my opinion on it, 860-464-9490. Call in. Love to break that deal down for you. Or if you've got something you're thinking about putting on the market and you want me to do a valuation over the radio in 60 seconds or less, I will get you a rough valuation right now here live on the radio. Or if you'd just like to promote something you're selling, 860-464-9490. We're taking all those calls. While we wait for any of those calls, we've got the One and Company at William Ravis Rewind for the week. This is our One and Company team, our meaning mine. PK's got his own deal over at Barnum Plans, knocking out people's future.
I'm just an honorary member of the team.
That's right. There you go. So this is the One and Company team. What we've gotten done here the last week, we had three new listings. 255 Barnes Ave, unit number 255 in New Haven, went on for $49,900. That is already under contract. We also had 46 Spring Hill Road in Southington come on the market. Beautiful little cape for $284,900. That's 46 Spring Hill Road in Southington for $284,900. Just came on this week. You've got a two-car attached garage, three bedrooms, one and a half bath, 1,500 square feet on three-quarters of an acre. That's in Southington, 46 Spring Hill Road. If you're looking for a single family there, jump on that one. Also this week, we listed 270 North Burnham Road in Lisbon for $739,000. 270 North Burnham Road in Lisbon. This property will blow you away. 270 North Burnham Road in Lisbon, Connecticut. You've got four bedrooms, three full baths, over 3,700 square feet. It was built in 2009. Total stunner. Hardwood floors throughout. Three-car attached garage. You absolutely want to check out this custom-built, stunning home, offering space, privacy, and luxury right in Lisbon, Connecticut. And then also, there was a fourth listing, so I apologize. We had four right at the end of the week on Friday. We had 7 West Street in Woodbridge. That just hit the market for $199.9, 2-bed, 1-bath, just about 1,000 square feet on just over a quarter of an acre in Woodbridge. $199.9, that is 7 West Street. Okay, and under contracts, we had 18. The team put 18 properties under contract in the last week. That's more than 2 a day. That's my quick math off the top of my head.
What you're saying is it's one company's fault that there's no inventory because it's just all getting sold.
We're helping people grab deals. A lot of these are buyers that we helped be in the right position to secure their property, to aggressively get the deal done for both our buyers and, you know, a bunch of these are our listings too. So we had properties go under contract in Guilford, Brantford, Griswold, East Lyme, Haddam, Wallingford, Bristol, North Haven, New Haven, Bristol, Hamden, Middletown, Hamden, New Haven, Milford, New Haven, Deep River, and Meriden. So those are the 18 towns that we put properties under contract. And we had 12 closings this week, closing more than a property a day all year long, Pat. We will have more than 365 closings at the end of this year. And this week alone, we closed properties in Durham, Plymouth, Connecticut, Guilford, Madison, Manchester, Brantford, West Haven, Cheshire, Meriden, Guilford, Montville, and Mystic. That is the One & Company Rewind. If you've got a deal you want to promote or look at, 860-464-9490 is the number. And for open houses this week, I don't believe we have any this week. The inventory goes so fast, sometimes you cancel these open houses midweek. If we do have any open houses, I will make sure I will shout those out. I just want to double check Sundays, but I don't believe.
I think that's an indicator of the market right there, right? You get the house organized, you do all the stuff and the things, you schedule the open house, gone before the open house even has a chance to go out.
Yeah, and the seller's in full control. Obviously, agents, we love doing open houses, right? Like, we've always talked about that. Less than 1% of the time does the house sell at the open house. In a market that's not as competitive as this, an open house is a great way to get that buyer on the hook to take action sooner. Now, in this market, buyers are taking action right away. So when the right deal comes for the seller, if it matches up with everything they want, they've gotten more money. They got more money than they could even think they were going to get. They go ahead, they take that offer, they cancel the open house. In a different market, you see a lot more open houses. You know, and it's too bad because you have so many people that are interested in real estate right now, Pat, whether they're thinking about buying right now or in the future. Where an open house is a great place to learn, and there's not as many of them available for buyers. So,
well, and it's been a weird 17 months, right? Because there was a while where there were no open houses for entirely different reasons. Early right. on, obviously because of the pandemic, and then now it's like it's just moving so quickly, right? It's been an interesting, I think, few months here where, as an outsider again, or if you're a new agent, right? I mean, to your point, you know, if you're one of the people joining the One & Company team or just joining the industry as a whole. You know, I feel like that's, to me, that open houses have always looked like a place to cut your teeth as a new agent.
And if you want to cut your teeth in this industry, I will actually pay for your license. We will pay for your license over at One & Company. Go over to realestateagentscholarship.com. We'll get you hooked up with that. In the meantime, we've got Joe from Colchester. Joe, you have a question about appraisals. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, hi. Hey, Joe. Hey.
Joe, how you doing?
I had a question. In your experience right now, this is a hot real estate market, right? Everybody knows. And what is your experience when you match up the listing price, you know, the asking price that you're putting forward? And, okay, so you have the asking price. A prospective buyer says, okay, I'm willing to go and meet the asking price. My experience, I'm seeing anywhere from 10 to 20%, even beyond the asking price, that the buyer is willing to bid, okay? But here's where I'm finding a little bit of a mismatch is when the bank appraisal comes in. I'm not seeing that bank appraisal at the same level, usually at a lower level, than the asking price. What are you seeing right now?
Joe, you're seeing that from what perspective? Are you an appraiser or a licensed agent? What do you mean by you're seeing
that? As a seller, somebody who's selling houses.
Okay, so you're selling homes. It sounds like you're selling multiple homes, and some of these bank appraisals are coming in lower. So the buyer has a mortgage, and the bank has sent out the appraisal. Remember, the appraiser, folks, the appraiser always represents the bank. Okay,
so the
buyer's buying the property, but the appraiser doesn't represent the buyer. Has no relationship to the buyer or the seller. It has the relationship with the bank. And so you're seeing that these appraisers are coming in. How low did you say?
I'm seeing that the numbers at the level of the asking price.
But not in reflection to what the buyer is willing to pay. So let's say the asking price was $300. The buyer bid $325. But now the appraiser is coming in at $300. And the buyer is saying, wait a minute, now my bank's not going to let me go to $325. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to go to $325, but they're asking
or even lower than the $300 that the seller, the original seller listed that home originally. How is that?
And so, I mean, we're seeing some of that for sure. What we were seeing in 2020, we saw a lot of that in 2020. What helped out our comps is we had so many New Yorkers in 2020. We don't have nearly the level of New Yorkers this season that we did last year. The New Yorkers were like, okay, I don't care. I've got the cash. I'm going to pay for it. Don't care what the appraiser says. Because remember, an appraisal is an opinion of value. It's one human being's opinion of value. They're licensed to give that opinion, and they have the guidelines that they have to follow. But they can only go off of the comparable sales. And earlier in the show, Joe, we talked about in May of 2021, let's just go single family homes, the median sale price for the month of May was $345,000. In June, it shot up to $370,000. So you're starting to see in some areas, in some instances, the comps haven't caught up to the whole market just yet in certain locations.
Okay.
And so, you're seeing that now in your situation. You've got to decide, am I willing to work with this buyer, or am I willing to go find a buyer that's willing to throw in the cash? There are buyers willing to throw in the cash, and that's how these appraisers are jumping up a little bit.
But not when you're dealing with buyers that are taking out FHA loans.
Correct.
You see it? Right. That's where this starts to fall down.
I agree with you, because if you're building, it sounds like you might be building. Are you building?
Well, right now the real estate I'm dealing with is not new builds. These are, you know, existing homes 30, 40 years old. But that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the bank is basically killing these deals right now for me.
There's no question about it. If you want to reach out to me, I can give you a few more strategies to help. Byron@oneincompany.com. But it's a problem across the board, especially for new construction. We got to go. I appreciate the call. We'll be right back. Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, and Stimulating Talk.
Core Plus Credit Union is an expert at financing just about anything on your wish list. Whatever it is you're looking to purchase to make your summer just a little more fun, we can help.
How about a boat or a camper?
We finance those every day.
What about an outdoor pizza oven?
At least one or two a month. You can't come up with anything harder than that.
A Canadian sled dog?
Haven't financed one of those recently, but let's do it.
Whatever's on your wish list, look to Core Plus for financing. Rates are low and most loans can be completed 100% online. If you can dream it up, we can probably finance it. Call or visit us at coreplus.org today. Insured by NCUA. Equal opportunity lender.
Core Plus, Core Plus.
Core Plus Credit Union. Core Plus Credit Union. CPCU.
You buy better.
You buy better at Burns. You buy better.
Hurricane
season is upon us. Did you know insurance companies can issue moratoriums that prevent you from securing coverage when there's an impending storm? Homeowners, business owners, property owners, act now. Don't let your coverage leave you out in the rain. The licensed professionals at the Burns Agency are here to help. Call, email, or chat with us online today. Don't let the next natural disaster become an insurance disaster. The Burns Agency, proudly serving Eastern Connecticut since 1932.
Real Estate Radio, great call from Joe in Colchester about the appraisals. The fact that he's off, it sounds like Joe is offloading inventory, his personal portfolio that he's collected over the years. Because he said he's saying he's selling properties and they weren't new construction. You see this a lot in new construction where they don't appraise out because the appraiser has to go off of past sales and they can't make sense of the value of new the way they were taught and the way they have to run an appraisal. They can't make sense of the cost of materials. Not that they can't, not that they're not intelligent enough to make sense of it. Their guidelines restrict them at times from making sense of it. And then you do have, I don't know, 5% of appraisers out there that couldn't make sense of anything. You do have a little bit of, you do have a little bit of that. I got some YouTube stuff going on about that, but most of the appraisers, I'll say 90+% of the appraisers are really, really good at what they do, but they've got very restrictive guidelines. Okay. And those guidelines are, they got to go off of sold properties. Okay. So we're talking about these records, price appreciation the last couple months. If you put your home on the market now and you get it under contract, if you're in the right location, those comps come in very handy. Now, a location is the biggest part of this deal. We haven't talked about location all show, Pat, but when you're buying
a location in a while,
when you're buying right now, don't create a bubble for yourself. You can buy at the top of this market and be fine. There'll be a new top of the market in the future. You can be fine buying at today's top of the market. But if you create a bubble for yourself in a bad location, that's where you're going to get hurt. And a bad location meaning this, meaning undesirable for future buyers in 5 to 7 years. If you buy in a location that's always going to have high levels of demand, that's what we saw last year where you saw new comps created out of thin air because New Yorkers loved the location so much. They were willing to pay cash, didn't care what one person's opinion of value, aka the appraiser, said. The location was good enough for their lifestyle that they paid cash above and beyond what any person's opinion of value. They had a greater utility for the property and the location, the locale, than they did the opinion of the value.
I think some of the stuff that you told us that we even started to see, right, was, to your point of thin air, some of the stuff was starting to happen in markets that historically weren't that strong, but people were driving out, you know, parts that are much more rural, you know, not shoreline per se, right? No, you know, shoreline obviously sets kind of the benchmark in Connecticut, but when you start to go into northern parts of those towns or even, you know, outside of that whole area, the value just starts to, because people want the space now and they want to get away from other people.
You had a reversal of what people wanted. People wanted downsized walkable to town. And then all of a sudden overnight, people wanted acreage and square footage. And they wanted square footage because they were working from home. Many of them believed they'd be working from home for the rest of their lives. Some of them will. You sent me an article, Pat, CNBC article, a study by research firm Global Workplace Analytics predicts that 25% to 30% of the U.S. workforce will be telecommuting multiple days per week by the end of this year. Telecommuting. What the heck is that, though, telecommuting?
What we're doing here. Zoom.
Mobile.
Zoom and phones.
work from home, right?
Yep, that's it. I mean, it's the same data set as the top states for business that we used. They just run them through a different metric for this.
Which we did on last week's show, which was a great show. It's an evergreen show because we talk about that list. You can go find that at CT Real Estate Radio, the podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. If you ever want to check these shows out, go to CT Real Estate Radio, the podcast, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And then as we discovered, almost to the day, it was the two-year anniversary of the same show that we had done with the 19 list. We talked about last week there was no 20 list just because of all the craziness that was happening. So we had done the same show 2 years prior for the 19 list. So if you want to kind of check out some recall there, see where places shuffled and shimmied to. But yeah, so it's the same data set, right? Because we talked about that last week. That's a very thorough study, you know, and they used data provided by the states, not just necessarily their own kind of skewed opinion pieces. And then they just ran them through slightly different kind of criteria. It looks like here they used broadband, how reliable the electric grid is, healthcare, sustainability in the face of climate change and environmental quality. Not sure how much of a factor those are. Environmental quality, inclusiveness, and then a big one for you, the housing market. The housing market and the cost of living and the tax burden are the three final kind of criteria they're using there. And they put together a list of 10. I didn't see a list of where everybody landed. That was another thing I didn't like. I was curious to see where the rest of the states outside of the 10 landed.
Yeah, for the remote work. So these are America's 10 best states for remote work. Before we give you those states, we're going to give you a chance at some of Martin's money. We got gift cards over to Olio's, and we're going to give you guys a chance. 860-464-9490. If you can guess whether Connecticut landed in the top 10 best states for remote work. So they've got America's 10 best states for remote work. One study says that even as offices reopen, as much as 30% of the U.S. workforce will work from home multiple days per week by the end of 2020. So coin flip opportunity at Martin's Money for Olio's, courtesy of Service Station Equipment. Call in 860-464-9490, and all you got to do is yes or no. Was Connecticut listed in America's 10 best states for remote work? Now, Connecticut landed number 24 on that list last week for states best for business.
Yep.
So were they in the top 10 for this specific category, best states for remote work? 860-464-9490. You can get a gift card to Olio's, tremendous restaurant. Help us support these local restaurants, courtesy of Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist.
And don't forget the strong showing Connecticut had too, year over year. Right? From 19, we were 35th, and moved up to 24, in that run there. So that's definitely a strong showing for us. I did just send you the flip side of the coin article, which is the 10 worst states to remote work in. Just so we have both of those. That's a strong list as well. But so I found the 10 best. I found the 10 worst. I can't just find the list.
You can't find the middle.
Which is getting a little frustrating, to be fair. But that's probably user error. I'm not going to blame the CNBC article for that. It's probably more to do with me than anybody else. But there's a couple of surprises on this list. I think the thing that I found interesting on this list was how it doesn't really correspond to the top states for business. Right, that top 10 for overall business versus the top 10 for remote doesn't really correlate.
You know why? Because this is hitting the personal individual. Like, one of the big categories that they're looking at is the effective tax rate. Okay?
So when Which was weighed fairly heavily in the previous one, but we thought wasn't heavy enough. We talked about how that was important, but they didn't really weigh it that much in the top 25 business.
But when you're an individual and you're working from home, that effective tax rate is really, I mean, look at you, Pat. You moved down to sunny South Florida because you're working essentially, you have an office down there, but you do a lot of work from the home office. You're able to work remotely, you're a telecommunicator and
commuter, telecommuter, telecommunicator.
And you're getting a huge benefit by changing your residency.
100%. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, you know, I think being a big driver, which on the worst side of things is definitely weighed pretty heavily. I just thought that you'd have a fairly strong overlap but not that many. Oh, Joe from Colchester's back with a guest.
Joe's back from appraisals to a guest. Joe from Colchester, what do you got? Hey, Joe, you with us?
Yeah, hi.
Joe, you got a guess?
I'm going to say no.
Boom, Joe, you are 100% correct, my friend. Stay on the line.
Great. That's great. Thank you, guys.
We're going to get your information, get you a gift card to Olio, so enjoy. So Joe is correct. Connecticut was not in the top 10, and Pat...
well, they were, just not on that list.
Just not the top 10 for remote work. Unfortunately, they were in the bottom 10. They were in the top 10 for worst states for remote work. And here's the categories for remote work. They do broadband access, home price appreciation. You know, we have it's interesting because I'm dealing with the new office expansion for HQ for one in company right now. Mm-hmm. And we don't have many options for broadband here in the state. So it's interesting that they put that in.
I think they're worried about like reliability more than
okay, than your options.
Yeah, then like how many companies can you pick?
It's definitely a racket here in Connecticut, I'll tell you that. Home price appreciation, which I'm happy with our appreciation here in Connecticut. We've done, I know Joe's had it hard there with his sales. Effective tax rate at 12.8%. I mean, that's absurd. It's one of the highest in the country, if not the highest, by the way. And I believe our effective tax rate is the highest, Pat. You can fact check me on that if you want.
We'll have to call.
I know for sure we're in the top three for effective tax rate on individuals, and then top business rank we said was number 24. So there you go, Connecticut in the bottom 10 for remote. Your remote work in Connecticut still better than New York, by the way,
and California and Maine and a bunch of others. But yes,
that's right. Yes. That is right on. If you want to reach out, any real estate needs, Byron@oneandcompany.com. That's all spelled out, Byron at oneandcompany.com. If you need Pat, go over to barnumplans.com, barnumplans.com. Pat will get you hooked up with your future investments. And if you'd like to join the real estate industry, I will pay for your license. Real estate
broadcasting from the Bruce Salon Buick GMC studios. WJJF, Montauk, Ledyard, Mystic, Norwich.